Luke in chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12, the story of the resurrection. I'll just read that to you as you can listen along. This is Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices with which they prepared, and certain others of them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered it in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed themselves their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, stooping down, and behold, the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about the resurrection and the power and the purpose of it. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the people who have come today, a good crowd of folks from every situation, some from every kind of background, some from good backgrounds and good homes, some from terrible situations, some from around the world. Yet, Lord, you brought just a diverse group of people here together, Father. And here we are in your will in church, reading your word and studying it, Father. So since we're here, we pray that you do a mighty work. We pray you'd speak to hearts. We pray anyone who doesn't know Christ as Savior would come to know him today and the eternal life through him. We pray everyone would hear your word and be helped and blessed. We pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher and guide and would encourage and strengthen and change lives, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all it teaches us. Help us to understand salvation clearly, the resurrection clearly. And we pray that you just give me wisdom of what to say and control my mind, my body, my thoughts, every part of me is yours to get your message out. And we pray you'd help in this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a depressing time for the disciples. Just a lot of things happen with them that would be very difficult to deal with. First of all, their Lord, their Savior, their best friend dies. Jesus wasn't just like the person that you look to the most in the world, which that can devastate you and be terrible if they die. Not like the person you look up to the most, you cared about the most died, which can be terrible and devastating. It was beyond that. It was the one they believe was their Lord, their Savior. And there is no doubt about it. And not only did he die, but the worst thing is they felt in his last moments they'd abandon him. And that kind of increases it. Having been in ICU units is with families as people are passing and such, and have been in these situations and had loved ones and people that I know pass away. One of the first things that people do oftentimes is they remember their last conversation or the last time they saw that person. And that is very important. And you know, they've got a couple people there to find seats. They think about, what did I say to them last? What was our last conversation? What was the last thing I do with them? And you kind of think these things through, and you think about it. It becomes very important to you. And boy, many times if you told them I love you or gave them a hug or something nice, you feel very good. As although you're going to miss them, you feel good the last time. And I want to say that you don't know when that last time with anybody is. So always, with people you love, leave on good terms. Say I love you. Give them a hug. This stuff, you never know. And I hope that everyone around you lives a good old age and you'll know and before they're going to pass. But I want to say that's not the way life works. Life's unpredictable. So always say I love you, always be close, always be friends, always be kind with people, and leave it the right way. But the disciples, they were coming to get Jesus, and they scattered and left him. He told them, you're all gonna leave me alone and scatter from me. And they said, we'd never do it, we'll die for you. And then the time came and the soldiers came and they took off and scattered. And then their Savior dies cruelly, crucified death, and hung on a cross and beaten and spit on and crown of thorns and all the terrible death that crucifixion brings. And their Savior, they had abandoned him at that time. Then one of the 12, one of the inner circle people, had killed himself. Judas had committed suicide. And so it's the triple whammy. And they're very discouraged, and Jesus has died. He's been buried 3 days now, and the ladies, the three ladies go, Mary, and the other one's Mary, and three ladies, they go to take care of Jesus with other ladies following them, and they go to take care of the body, and they're going to anoint it with oil and perfumes and just take care of the body as they did. And they go to the tomb, and there's a stone there, and Roman soldiers, but they weren't there, and the stone was rolled back, and they go in, and the body is gone. Clothes are still there, the linen napkins, and there he's wrapped in. They were taken away, and he is gone, and they're of course, pretty upset. And there's a big series of events that happen with people going back and forth and coming to the tomb and checking it out. I'm going to actually read the whole process tonight. I'll explain it to you, because it's very confusing, as those situations usually are. But they don't find the body of Jesus there. Now, he had told them way earlier and multiple times, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, and 3 days later I'll raise to life. But they just, it didn't process. They didn't get that. I'll read you in the same book of Luke here, and Jesus says, I'm gonna die, and I'm gonna be crucified, and this is gonna happen. And this is Luke 9, verse 22, way earlier in the book of Luke. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. He just told them, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die. By the way, the Bible before, understand, hundreds of years before Christ was born, it said Messiah would come, he would do this, he would do this, he would do this. It gave 109 things he would be and do. And out of those 109 things, one of those things is he would hang on a tree. And he'd be pierced. And he'd be beaten. And his face would be so marred he couldn't tell as a human. And then he'd be buried. And then he'd be raised from the dead 3 days later. And so it was one of the prophecies. And then, of course, he said it in his life. But then they're just devastated. All they can think about is, he's dead, and our hopes, and we gave up our businesses to follow him, and now he's dead, and everything's bad, and they're very upset. And they come to the tomb, and the ladies do, and Mary Magdalene runs back first to tell the disciples, and meets Jesus in the way, and goes and tells the disciples, the Lord's risen. And Peter and John run back to the tomb, and later the other disciples come to the tomb, and the tomb's empty, and they don't see him at all. This event right here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the most important event in the history of mankind. More important than anything that ever happened in the history of the human race. Nothing is ever more important than this. Because there's been a lot of people who are messengers, a lot of people who taught a lot of things, a lot of preachers and prophets and teachers and a lot of people like that. But they all died and stayed dead. But Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I am the Messiah that was going to come, and if I'm the Messiah who's going to come, I'm going to have to rise from the dead. And that was the proof that he wasn't just another man. And he said, destroy this temple of my body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He said, I can raise my body from the dead. And so he it would prove that he wasn't just a teacher or a prophet. Understand that most of the major religions of the world, except for Bible Christianity, believe Jesus was a good teacher. Buddhism believes that, Islam believes that. They believe Jesus was a prophet, a teacher, a good guy, an enlightened one. But we don't believe just that. We believe he's the Son of God. Amen. That he was risen from the dead. That he is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Son of God, the only begotten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so this is different. And now they find he's raised from the dead. He shows himself first to Mary Magdalene. And by the way, I think that's so beautiful that Mary Magdalene is the one he shows himself first to. Of all the people in the world, he could have appeared anywhere, because he was appearing and disappearing as he was coming. After he was raised from the dead, he was in a glorified body, so he could appear and disappear anywhere. And that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And avoid traffic, all kinds of great things that would happen. That would be a wonderful thing if we could appear and disappear. Some of you, April 15th, would not have to worry about the IRS and a bunch of other things. But he could just appear and disappear. He could have showed himself to anybody. He could have appeared to Caesar. He could have went to Peter, the lead apostle, who was, or James or John. He could have appeared to his mother, Mary. He could have appeared to Herod or to Pilate or to a great crowd. Yet of all the people, he appears to the woman called the sinful woman, the woman who had seven demons in her cast out. And Mary Magdalene gets to be the one who sees Jesus first. It said that very specifically. It said, and Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Just says, you know what? Why? Because she stayed there faithful all the way to the cross. Watch him crucified. That's a pretty hard duty to do, by the way. And I don't think I would have stayed. I would have went. I wouldn't have watched it. I don't have it in me. And yet, he appeared to her first, and that's just wonderful, showing the grace of God and showing the mercy of God, that he loves sinners. And the Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I feel so sorry for somebody who doesn't think they're a sinner. I'm so good. I'm going to heaven because I'm so good. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. I feel sorry for you. Jesus came for me, not for you. You miss out. You didn't have the Son of God die for you. You're so perfect, he didn't need to. But God loved me so much that Jesus died for me because I'm a sinner. That's why Jesus came, to save sinners. And by the way, the person who wrote that, best Christian who ever lived, probably the Apostle Paul. He said, for this cause, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And one of the wonderful things is when you realize who you really are and realize you're loved anyway, that changes everything. It changes everything. And so Jesus comes and he dies and he's risen from the dead. The body's not there. He appears to Mary Magdalene. He eventually is going to appear to Peter, and he's going to appear to all the apostles, and to Mary, the mother, and he's going to appear to Salome, the other lady there, and he's going to appear to over 500 people at once. He's going to appear to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He just is going everywhere. He eventually hears Thomas say, "I will not believe he is risen from the dead unless I stick my fingers in his side, my hand in his side, my fingers in the holes in his hands," because he was crucified. I don't believe it. And Jesus appears and in the room later on and says, "Thomas, here I am. Go ahead." By the way, Thomas never did it. Yeah, I was just kidding. And he says, "No, I believe." And by the way, he still had those scars. He still had those holes. You know why? So he wouldn't forget what he paid for us. And Jesus paid the price. And he appeared to Thomas. He appeared to all of them. And by the way, he's still alive today. He rose from the dead, and he'll live forevermore. He'll never die again. And he is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he's yet in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men." They met an angel there. The angel said, "Hey guys, he told you he's going to raise from the dead. He's not here. He's risen." Why do you, in one of the other gospels, he said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking here? He's not here. You're looking for a living guy in the middle of a tomb. He's alive. And why are you looking here?" This resurrection proved that he was, he said he was, which goes a step back, which means when he died, that was the foretold death in the Old Testament, where it said he was bruised for our iniquities. He died for our sins. And so when he was crucified there, that was for a reason. He died for our iniquity. He died for our sin. And that means that everything he taught us was true. And that means that death has no more power. And that means he's conquered death. That means we get to go to heaven because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he went and prepared a place for us. We've got a mansion in heaven, and we get to go be with him someday. He's risen from the dead. Hey, you know what? Death has no more power. The resurrection happened. I got eternal life. Jesus' words were true. And the disciples are saying, this is everything. That he is risen is everything. That he is risen is the most important event in history, because nothing else matters if he's not risen. He was just a good guy who taught some good things and died. And there's a lot of people who did that. Moses taught good things and died, but not the Messiah. The Messiah wouldn't stay dead. The Messiah would come back to life. And it says he would grab the keys of death and hell, and he would take away the power of death and hell, and he could unlock the door where there's no more power in death. And when someone dies in Christ, death has no more power over them. They get to live forever with God in heaven because Jesus was risen from the dead. And you know what's great today? We live and serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today, and he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives in my heart. It's so good that Jesus was raised from the dead. We see a whole bunch of people, and here is this massive cliff on one side. This cliff is huge. It's maybe from the back wall here to the back wall there, and everything is dark and looks hopeless. On the other side of the cliff is paradise and perfection, and everyone wants to go there. On this side of the cliff is nothing but emptiness and darkness and death, and nothing good's going to happen. Everyone wants to get to the other side called heaven over there. And everyone wants to get there someday. And they're looking and they're thinking, that distance is too far for me to get across there. There's no bridge. There's nothing to get over there. And in between is this thing called death and this thing called hell. And at the bottom of this chasm is just flames. And people run and they jump and try to get over there. And some people are better than others and some jump farther, but nobody comes anywhere near getting halfway, because nobody can make it over there to heaven on their own. And everybody who tries, they all end up in the same place, though some get a little farther. One day, strange things happen. A man is walking down there, a man with a beard, and he's got some people following him. And this man walks down there, and he willingly walks down to the edge of the cliff, and he walks up there, and you look at that man, he looks a little different, just kind of glowing different than everybody. He has about 11 people following him and some ladies following him, and he looks like the Son of God. And he walks up the edge of the cliff, and he steps off. And everyone begins weeping and said, he's dead. We thought he was going to get us over there. We thought he had the way to get us to the other side, and he's dead now. And he's gone down there where everybody else goes. And he's dead, and it's the end of everything. And what are we going to do? And everyone else is still hopeless, and everyone else is still hoping and wishing they had a way to get over there. Not long after, just about 3 days later, everyone is still there. People are trying to get across. Some people are waiting, and you never know when your time's going to come. And suddenly, they see that same man who walked off on the other side over there, and he's coming back. But he's carrying something with him, and it's something big and long, and all of a sudden you notice he's bigger than he was before. And he carries back over to that chasm, and he walks up to everybody and looks across, and he drops that thing across a chasm. And it's this big, huge cross that goes all the way across. And he walks over, and he walks across to the other side, and he stands there inviting everybody on this side. And says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That has no more power. I've destroyed it. You can come across and you can go to the other side if you want it. Those people who are on the side are us. The chasm is our sin, is death. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I ask you, are you going to get to heaven? You say, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. You're trying to jump across a chasm you cannot jump. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm a really good person. I've been going to church my whole life. I live a good moral life. I don't beat people. I'm nice to my family. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cuss. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, you're better than me or you're better than somebody else, and you jump and you go halfway across. It does not matter. Charles Manson fell right at the edge. Adolf Hitler fell right at the edge. They didn't make it anywhere. They were so bad. But you know what? The best, most religious person in the history of the world jumps and they don't make it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said, there's no man who's going to get to heaven because everybody's sinned. I will come and I will die for their sins because they can't get to heaven. That's how much God loved you. When he was on the cross, he could have stopped the whole crucifixion. He could have said, this is done. No more. Kill the world. He could have done anything he wanted. He had all the angels, but he said, you know what? I will do this because I'm the Son of God. I can take the sins of the whole world. Every sin everybody's ever done, I can suffer the death and the hell and the pain and agony of all that sin has ever done to anybody in eternity. I can take it on me and absorb it all and die for it in a few short hours. Every sin that you've ever done, he knew about, he died for, and he died because he needed to save you. If you could get to heaven by your religion, if you can get to heaven by the church, if you can get to heaven by the preacher, if you can get to heaven by your good life, Jesus did not have to die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. I am not worthy of heaven. I won't get there because I'm good enough. I will get to heaven, but not because of me, because I've taken the road of the cross. Because I'm not saved myself. I'm not jumping and trying to earn my own way to heaven. One day, a lady in a church in Indiana, she was an elderly lady, and she told the pastor the story later. She was an elderly lady. She was getting ready to pass away, and the pastor came in later and visited her. But before that happened, the priest came in and said to her, ma'am, would you like me to absolve your sins before you die? And she said, can I see your hands? And he said, yes, there's my hands. He says, sir, you can't absolve my sins. There's no nail scars in your hands. Amen. She already had it settled because Jesus already took her sins away. And this church can't take your sins away, and you can't take your sins away, and being baptized can't take your sins away, and I can't take your sins away. The only one who can take your sins away is one who died for you because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you choose today to run and take your best jump, and I'm going to live a good life and be a good person, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm so good, you will jump, but you won't make heaven. Your good deeds will not get you there. Nobody's will. That's why Jesus died. He died for you, for your sins. And if he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, if you'll come by me, you'll know heaven's your home. It's not a wonder. It's not a hope. It's not, I think I'm going to make it. These things that are written unto you, the Bible says, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I know heaven's my home today. Do I still sin? I'm still not perfect. I know I'm going there not because I'm doing so good, not because I'm so righteous. I'm not. I'm just flesh and blood like you are, and live in a fallen body and mess up. And it's only by the grace of God. It's because he saved me, not me. I couldn't get myself to heaven, let alone you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose again 3 days later to prove that he had power over death. And now heaven is right there. Jesus stands at the door and he says, I am the door in John chapter 10. If it by me any man enter in, he'll go in, find his way to God, and he'll get eternal life. He goes through Jesus Christ. If you go any other way, you don't get there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus today stands there, having destroyed death, having died for you, having been raised from the dead for you. And he says, I want to save you today. I want to wash all those sins, every sin, take it away. You won't have a single sin left. It'll be cast as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea, the Bible says, if you'll trust him as Savior. If you try any other way, it doesn't matter what way you want to pick. If it's religion, it won't get you there. If it's the church, it won't get you there. If it's you living a good life, it won't get you there. If it's baptism, it won't get you there. A person will get you there. He's the Savior, Jesus Christ, and he loved you and died for you. Very simple. Christ rose from the dead. He was seen by over 500 people. If the event never happened, how come the entire world was changed at that moment that didn't happen? He's alive today. And once you accept him as your Savior, he'll come inside of you. And not only will you know he lived 2,000 years ago, you'll know he's alive today. He's alive today. He's the Savior who died for your sins. Now, the whole thing about God, though, is God will not force you to accept him. Here's the cross leading across. You can take the word of the cross of Jesus Christ and say, I accept him as my way. Or you can take your own way. He will not grab you and shove you across his way. He's not going to do that. He says, but I want you to. And it says, and the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And Jesus invites us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He invites you to accept him as Savior, but he's not forcing you. When I was 16 years old, never knew anything about God, didn't go to church, was a bad kid and a lot of trouble and messed up life, and I found out that Jesus died for my sins. I needed him to save me, and he would gladly save me and take all my sins away. I said, deal. And I accepted him. Never regret it. Transform. He came in, became a best friend, transformed my life. But you know, I'm not going to heaven because my life's transformed. I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior. Because the way of the cross. Because Jesus died for those sins. And I received him. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe Jesus died for you and rose again from the dead? If you believe that, and you've never accepted him, today he's inviting you. We invite you, but we can't force you. We wouldn't do that if we could. You have a free will. We want people to choose. It's your choice. It's not your mama's choice, not your daddy's choice, not your kid's choice. It's your choice. We want you today to ask Christ to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Promised by God. If you want to ask him to save you, you can today. It's up to you. It's up to you. I'm going to just sec. I called upon the Lord to save me. I told you back when I was a teenager. If you want to ask Jesus to save you today, I'm going to say a prayer out loud that you can say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I trust him to get me to heaven when I die. I will pray that prayer. God will hear you silently in your mind. Don't say it out loud. Just say it to him, silently in your heart to God. And if you at that point trust him to save you, knowing you can't save yourself, he'll save you. Your sins will be washed away. You'll get a best friend inside of you. You're in your heart, Jesus Christ, if you want to. And it'll be the best decision you ever had. If you think you're going to earn it on your own, good luck. But I hope you trust him today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you that Jesus is risen from the dead. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think of your promises there in Romans 10. Thank you that the disciples found the tomb empty. Thank you appeared to Mary first. Thank you today you're alive and you want to save us. Help us to say yes, who haven't yet, Lord. I pray the rest of us would just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would be thrilled that death, though we'll face it someday, won't have power over us. That we'll know the peace of knowing we're forgiven and knowing that our Savior is alive and death has no more power. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and nobody's looking around.